Good evening. Looks like we're just a tad sparse tonight. This side over here, huh? Yes. Tonight we're going to continue in with the prayer of Jabez. I pray that this morning's message spoke loudly to you, and it did to me. It has many times. Tonight we're going to look at living large. As I shared this morning, 1 Chronicles is a difficult book to read. It is simply a genealogy for the first 9 chapters, going over and over and over again that so-and-so fathered so-and-so, and so-and-so fathered so-and-so, and all of a sudden it gets to that segment of Jabez, and the historian records how important that prayer of Jabez actually was. And we know through history how God used Jabez in a tremendous way. He asked God to bless him indeed. He was asking for supernatural favor. He knew that God was the God of Israel that had freed the children of Israel from Egypt, and He was the God that had parted the Red Sea. He was the God that could lead the people through 40 years of wilderness journey and provide for them each and every day. Literally, millions of Jews were wandering in the wilderness, and God would care for them and provide for their every need. Their shoes would never wear out. Their clothing would not unravel. It was amazing how God took care of them. And now tonight we see how Jabez is asking God to live large. He's wanting to live large. He is a man that is named after sorrow and pain, and he's wanting that changed in his life. And so I'd like to have you turn tonight to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and I want to read once again from God's Word, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us here tonight to worship you. And Father, we pray that each heart has been prepared. And Father, we pray that this message might go forth and that we might get a glimpse of what you want to do through us as a church. And that we might get a glimpse of what our personal responsibilities might look like if our territories, if our borders were enlarged. And Father, we pray that you would challenge us tonight to look beyond our own abilities, to look beyond our own experiences, and Father, that we might rely solely upon you. Now, Father, we pray that you are glorified through this message tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The genealogies are quite taxing when you're reading those names, and why they couldn't name them Ralph and Sam and Craig and you name it, I don't know. But they were truly names that represented the character that that child was to possess. And so as God is dividing the land for the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, we know that He is dividing the lands and each individual owns a portion of land. And as Jabez looks at what is his, he looks at the border, he looks at his fence line, He looks at his territory. And he basically tells God, God, I was born for more than this. See, I believe God has saved us just not to bring glory to Him, that we could have everlasting life with Him. God did not save us to give us warm, fuzzy feelings. God saved us so that a world might come to know Him as Savior and Lord as we have. There we go. Very good. Yeah, you're going to have to work here tonight. All right? God is wanting us to be ambassadors for Him. And when the world sees us doing the things that we can do, they look at us and say, gosh, you know, I just don't know that I want to be a part of that. I just don't know that I'm ready for that. But when they see God doing things that are God-sized, they stand in awe of who He is, and they want to have a relationship with Him. They want God to work in their lives as they have seen God work in yours. That's why Jabez said, "Bless me and bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast." Now, he wasn't just saying, okay, I've got 320 acres, but I'd rather have 640. That's not what he was doing. He was literally saying, God, you birthed me for more than this. God, let me do more for you. Bless me and bless me abundantly. Give me supernatural favor. Enlarge my coast. Use me in a greater way than you've used anyone else. Wow, look at the way Billy Graham has been used by God. That man is recognized every place he goes and respected every place he goes. Do you know that Billy Graham, if he was standing on an elevator and there was a woman that would step into the elevator, do you know what he would do? He would step out. He would step out of the elevator. That's the type of integrity that that man had. And God used him in a tremendous, tremendous way. I believe God wants to use us the same way. First of all, I believe that when we start praying this way, we get to see some exciting things. See, it's about moving the boundary lines. It's all about moving those boundary lines. When you're asking God to move those boundary lines, don't just give us Belleville, God. Don't just give us Belleville and Swansea and Fairview Heights and O'Fallon. No, God, give us the state of Illinois. Is that too small? Yes. God, give us the United States. Let us be the pinnacle of what you want to do in every church throughout this nation. It's recognizing God's appointments. That's what it's about. It's about seeing God do things and recognizing that it's Him that's doing it. See, I truly believe that when we ask for that supernatural favor, that God will send us to people. When I was pastoring at First Baptist Appleton City, the church itself had been on a couple mission trips in 120 years. A couple. And you would talk to some of the real old seniors, and they would recall a time when they were a young married couple, how the church went and did this, and how the church went and did that. And I challenged the church, and I challenged the youth at the time to start praying about how God would use us. And the youth, for some reason, wanted to do a mission trip. They had never been on a mission trip. They'd never been on a mission field, other than right there in Appleton City. And Appleton City is only 1,700 people. And then you have to drive 20 miles that way, or 20 miles that way, or 40 miles that way to the nearest town. It's a little bitty town in the midst of nowhere. Matter of fact, Appleton City is not on your way to anywhere you're going. Okay? That's where Appleton City is. And so I had talked with a cousin of Ada. What's his name, Doctor? Help me here. Yeah, too long ago. A cousin, and he's the man that helped write the New American Standard version. He was one of the editors. It's not mentioned in the front page. Anyway, I called him and talked to him about things going on in California. He lives in Moreno Valley, California. And he had been back to visit, and we visited together, and he was back for a couple weeks, and we had several meals together. We had him over to the house, and we went out for lunch a few times, and I talked to him about the youth group coming out. And he said, wow, that'd be so great if we could plan that to come for them to come out during our vacation Bible school. That would be so helpful. Now, he is an entrepreneur. He will buy a strip mall, and he'll put churches in there, and one will be his office, and the rest will be classrooms, and another place will be the worship center. And so that's what he does, and he rents the other areas out to pay for all of it so that he has no cost. I want you to know this guy is very ingenious. He is very, very good at putting things together. And so I talked to him about bringing the youth group out. Now, little Appleton City, most of the kids had been out of town, but most of them had never been out of state. And we had a 15-passenger van, got it all cleaned up, took it to one of the church members that owned the dealership, and they went through it from head to toe to make sure everything was working right, and went to another church member that's a farmer and took a welder out of one of the small trailers that he had enclosed, and we used that and pulled that behind and actually painted it the same color as the van so it would look all together good, you know, as we're going. And so it took us 3 days to get there. We left on a Wednesday, and it was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so I made arrangements in Amarillo, Texas, to stay at a church in Amarillo, and then I made arrangements at a church in Flagstaff, Arizona, so we could stay at the churches and not have any kind of expense other than gas. And we took lunch meat and chips and mayonnaise and something to drink. That was it. And that's what those kids ate for 3 days straight, was lunch meat sandwiches. Well, you can imagine what youth would say after eating lunch meat sandwiches for 3 days. When we went through the Mojave Desert, it was hot, and the air conditioner quit working, and we were towing a trailer, and the temperature gauge on the van was topping out. It was so hot that it shrunk the headliner in the van. It was that hot. And they would complain a little bit, and so finally I wasn't driving. I turned around and said, hey, listen, we all know it's hot. Let's just button it and get through this the best we can. And so we sweltered in our sweat. We went through at 2:00 in the afternoon. Stupid. I didn't want to be on the road at night, though, with those kids. Anyway, so we got there. They'd never been to a big city. Moreno Valley is a suburb of Los Angeles. They'd never seen homeless people. They'd never seen someone pushing a shopping cart, and that was the entirety of their life in that shopping cart. So we went there, and he says to me, well, this is going to start on Monday, and I had to preach on Sunday, and so everybody had kind of a day to recuperate, and then we start VBS, and we're looking for all these kids just to flood in. Well, the time came to start VBS, and there wasn't anybody. We had maybe 4 kids. Now, we had our kids all trained up. Some were going to be teaching the mission story. Some were going to be doing music. Some were going to be doing crafts. Some were going to be doing recreation. I mean, we had all of the bases covered. So what we did, we went out. Several of us adults took the kids out, and we started knocking on doors and putting flyers out, and the kids had never done anything like that. They had never gone house to house. And they were like in a different world. They'd never experienced anything like that. And so the van would drop us off at different points. And you had to go from point A to point B. And you had to knock on all the houses between point A and point B. When we ended up, we had over 150 kids at our vacation Bible school, many of which gave their hearts and lives to Jesus. God used those youth in such a tremendous way, and they were so bubbling when we left that God had used them in such a tremendous way. When you ask for God to enlarge your boundaries, you need to recognize God's appointments, because He will send you to people. Not only that, but He will send people to you. I saw some things this week. I stopped at Aldi's. It was Wednesday or Thursday, one of the 2 days. It was Thursday because I was sick. I stopped at Aldi's coming back from the church to get some stuff so that I could eat, maybe keep it down. I didn't get very much, so I just had a few things in my cart, and I ran it out to the back of the Durango and flipped the hatch up and started throwing stuff in there, and a lady gets out of her car, and she's fumbling in her purse and stuff, and I said, "Hey, you need a cart?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Here you go." She goes, "Well, I don't even know if I can have a quarter in here." I said, "Don't worry about it." And so she took about 4 or 5 steps, and she goes, "Hey." And I was almost in the Durango. And I went, "Yeah?" She goes, "Thanks." And I said, "My pleasure. Have a good day." And away she went. A quarter. Friday, I had to go to the doctor in St. Louis. And as is my normal routine, Missouri gas, by the way, is cheaper than Illinois gas. I stop at Lilac Avenue, to the Quick Trip there. And they have rebuilt that thing. It's huge. So I stop in there, and I'm gonna put gas in. And I'm all done putting gas in. And this lady pulls up behind me. And I'm putting the hose back in the machine. And she comes walking up to me. She goes, "Sir, I never do this." She says, but "Can you help me out?" I said, maybe. She says, "I live in Chesterfield and I'm completely out of gas and I left my debit card at home." I said, "I know my bank account right now and I don't really have any cash. I wish I could help you." And I got in. She said, "Well, thank you anyway." And she went through the pumps and went to someone else. And I got in the Durango, and there I saw the little thing, the little envelope that they give you the money at the bank. Well, I had miscalculated, and I had $10 in there. And so I saw that $10, and I said, ma'am, I don't know if it'll help you any, but this is $10. I miscalculated. I do have $10 here. I want to give that to you." And she goes, "When I get home, really, truly, I'm telling you the truth. I promise. I'll write you a check. Give me your name and address." I said, "No. Just have a nice day." She goes, "Really? I want to repay you." I said, "Just do a kind deed for someone else in the name of Jesus, okay?" And she looked at me and she goes, "Well, thank you." I said, "My pleasure. Have a great day." And I got in and left. See, I believe that God wants to bless us and use us. And when we start recognizing God's appointments, we know that He's going to send us to people, and we also know that He's going to send people to us. Let me tell you something. God doesn't ever make any mistakes. We need to have a conscious engagement. A conscious engagement. When we start praying for something, we need to be able to look at what God is doing and then be able to determine, hey, that's something that God did. And when we start to see those things, they will start to add up. They will start to always add up, and we can see God working even in the little things of life. We see God working. And when He is working in our lives in the little things, it won't be too long before He's working in our life in the big things. Secondly, I believe we need to see that we need to be willing to move the lines, willing to move the boundary lines. And you might say, well, I'm willing to do that. Well, by and largely, most of the time, oftentimes we are unwilling. Not consciously. Most of the time we are unwilling participants in what God is doing because we're not connecting the dots and we look at ourselves rather than looking at Almighty God. This is why we are unwilling. Many times we do our math. Everyone say, our math. When we do our math, that is our abilities, that is our experiences, that is our training, that is our personality, it's our past, it's our expectations, and when we add all of those up, this is my territory, and God, you have to work within it. That's why I say oftentimes we are unwilling to have God move those boundary lines. Many times churches call pastors and they say, this is what we want to do. This is the direction our church is going, and we just need someone to lead us. And as soon as the church calls someone to lead, they go, oh wait, we don't want to do it that way. That hasn't happened here yet. It will someday. Hey, it's only a matter of time. It is. Before someone says, oh, I'm just not comfortable with that. See, when we do our math and we're using our abilities, our experiences, our personality, our past, we're looking at our expectations. God is very limited by us then. But I want you to know that He's looking for willing people. God looks for willing people. When God does His math, we look at God's math like this. It's our willingness. It's our weakness. It's His will and His supernatural favor. And when we add those things up, that's the way God does math. And He is able to do so much beyond what we are able to do. Would you agree? See, we need to focus when we're praying on what God is doing in our lives and around us so that we can plug in to Him. So we can plug into what He is doing. And when we are willing to allow Him to move those boundary lines in our lives, we are going to see Him do things that will boggle our mind. I believe we also need to see that God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Now, God will never send someone to us that we're not able to help. And God will not send us to someone that we're not able to help. See, when I went back to the Durango, I was thinking to myself, you know, I had used all of my money and I'm just going to go home and try to rest up on Friday and see if I can get things straightened out. And lo and behold, there's $10 there. I mean, I did a Kathy. She'll put clothes on or a coat on and she'll go, wow, there's $5. You know, it's like, wow, what a savings plan, dear. I did a Kathy. I had miscalculated the amount of cash, and I had that $10 left. And, you know, and I had just written this message, and I knew God was not going to send someone to me that I could not help. And when I go, oh, I really wish I could, but, you know, I know my account, and it's, and I don't have any more cash. You know, I wish I could. Sorry. And I'm thinking to myself, God, did you make a mistake? And he's saying, nope, I didn't make a mistake. You got something and you don't even know it. See, many times when we do our math, we can't see what God is doing because we're relying upon our own abilities, our own experiences, our own training, our own personalities, our own pasts, our own expectations. And when we do all of that, it just doesn't add up. But when we look at God's math and we see that He includes our willingness, our weaknesses, His will, and His supernatural favor, that's God's math. And He never makes a mistake. Thirdly, I believe that He wants us on the front row seat. Our front row seat. When we ask God to enlarge our territories, we're literally asking God to do a miracle in our midst. Something that He has never, ever done before. We're asking for His supernatural favor. But more than that, we're asking Him to do a miracle like He used to do when He would part the Red Sea, like He used to do when He took care of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, like He used to do when He empowered Israel to defeat their enemies in the Promised Land. We're asking God for supernatural favor to do miracles in our midst. And when we do that, God will intervene in our lives. He will intervene in our lives if we are willing to be on the front row, on that front line, that battle line. Those are the ones that die first, by the way. When you're on the front line, you're the one that takes the bullet first. That's what being a point man is all about, keeping the rest of your troop safe. When you're on the front line, you're doing things that you've never done before. How many kids do we normally have at our VBS? 75? We plan for 100, okay? Okay. All right. Guess what? If we started to pray now about God moving our boundary lines, we may have to get 5 or 6 more buses, by the way. No. More teachers. Anyway, that's right. If we had more kids, we're going to need more teachers. But when we are asking God to move our boundary lines, what would it be like if we had 500? What would it be like if we had 1,000? It'd be sheer chaos at Eastview Baptist Church. We'd have kids coming out our ears. But wouldn't that be a great problem to have? I mean, we'd have so many kids, we wouldn't know what to do with them. We'd have to do a daytime VBS and a nighttime VBS. Wouldn't that be a big problem, a great problem to have? See, I believe God wants to use us, and the only way He can is if we get past our math. I believe God wants to have a tremendous VBS this year. A VBS that is so far beyond our capability that it will literally blow the doors off the church. And look at the families we can get into if we will start praying, God, just use me. Let me be on the front line. Let me be willing to be that teacher. Let me be that person that helps in recreation or helps in crafts or helps in the music or help in any way. We have it at night so that adults can be a part of that. Wouldn't it be great to have 200? So what if we pray for 500 or 1,000 and get 250? What an improvement from last year. That's what it's all about. And see, when we have those kind of numbers, we will be like the youth group from Appleton City in a faraway city that they'd never been to before. We're going to be so out of our element. Hear me. We've never experienced it. It's beyond our ability. It's never happened in the past. But wouldn't it be so great that we did not rely upon our strength and let God open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for us that it's so large we wouldn't be able to receive it? Wow. That's what I'm praying for. So I challenge you tonight to gear up. That's what it's about. It's opening our heart to the things of God, allowing Him to do the things that He desires in our lives, in the life of our church and in our individual lives. And when we see Him do those little things, that's evidence of Him working in our lives. He will do those larger things as well when we are able to connect the dots and use God's math. If not, if all we take are little bitty steps, we don't need God for that. We can do that. We've done that before. But when we start praying, God, do miracles in our midst. God, take us beyond our ability. Take us beyond our experience. Then we are asking Him for the same thing that Jabez asked him. And notice what God did, and He granted him all that he requested. Let's pray. Father God, You are so good. You are so good to challenge us. Father, we do pray that You would enlarge our territory, that You would enlarge our vision, that we could truly do Your math. And Father, that we might see You do things that are God-sized, and that we wouldn't rely upon our own abilities, our own experiences, but Father, that You would be turned loose in this community. And Father, we pray that through this message, that we might just get a glimpse of what You are desiring. For Father, You're not wanting anything but great to come from us. And we thank You now and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.